Is there a habit that I can hold on to? One that has teeth and won't let me go? Is there a smart goal? No, brilliant, that's fiercely strong, easy to capture, easy like flow. Cause smoke rises as resolve plummets in the blink of an eye, and I watch my good intentions slowly die. For at any time, be it happy, sad, angry as a bull, or just plain bored, I lean on habits. Some are old like dusty houses that once were shiny and new and full of hope, but now just left behind. Some keep me company, cause lonely does what it wants to do. It has me reaching without a clue. What do I want? Habits that have me in the fridge, lounging on the couch, watching other people's lives, or maybe at a party, talking blah 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 for words that sound like me. Habits have me in the corner. Habits have me looking at my phone. Habits have me talking nonsense to people I'd rather leave alone. Habits do things, and sometimes undirected, for habits have a life of their own. Some linger for decades, some fly by at night. I can't tell which ones will be the hanger-ons, so I keep on running, even when I can't find a path. But really, I just want to float and laugh and feel the sun. Truth be told, I want better things for this body and soul. Habits are reborn once again. I'll try for one day, then two, in small ways and along a snail's path, because habits move slowly. I'll crinkle my nose and curse under my breath till a pattern emerges to live on its own, till these new habits find a resting place, and then perhaps a happy home. Today I'm going to talk about the struggle to build new habits, but I'm not going to come at things like an expert would, because I know that habit forming isn't just following a prescription or thinking you have all the answers. I've been told to set the right goal. Check. To start small. Check. And to forgive missteps. Definitely check. But what am I to do when the world turns upside down and I tumble and get snagged? How do I make room when time is something I don't have? How do I stay consistent when the world won't play along and sends me new challenges when I least expect them or feel utterly unprepared to handle them? Just a word about this episode. I will be talking about weight loss and eating and exercise habits from my personal vantage point. I'm not going to sugarcoat it because that's not me, so I'll use terms like fat and obese to describe my physical body. But I'm not here to shame anyone, especially not myself. I'm comfortable with those terms. I believe in trying to love yourself and your body as much as you can in whatever shape or size it comes in. For me, that's a work in progress, and that's what I want to discuss. While I try to love my body at any weight, I know I feel better physically and emotionally when I'm fit and leaner. And after 5 decades of being overweight, and by overweight I mean clinically obese, I lost 60 pounds in my mid-50s and felt like I was on top of the world as I kept that weight off for more than 2 years. I was going to the gym most days and loving every moment. It turns out I had the gym rat blood in me. You know, I was eating a whole foods diet and off the sugar roller coaster, I thought for good, when my mom had her first stroke and all hell broke loose. Now, I managed to keep within 10 pounds of my new weight for the first year of my mother's illness. I was too busy to eat, and keeping her on a salt-free, low-fat diet while she lived with me improved her health and kept my weight in check. But almost as soon as she moved out of my apartment and into an assisted living apartment, I began to gain the weight back. Today's episode is all about staying in the fight. Whatever that fight looks like to you, I'll explain. Welcome to Let the Verse Flow, a show that takes you on a creative journey to inspire your personal growth. I'm your host, Jill Hodge, a business writer by day, a poet, music lover, and journal enthusiast all the other times. Part performance art, part self-help, this show is unique. So let me show you rather than tell you. But first, please note, the opinions I express here are my own and not a substitute for professional help. If you need someone to talk to, please reach out to a mental health professional. Now, sit back and relax and listen to my reflections from the bright side of the beat. As you know, I love a good beat. And when I heard this song about fighting, something inside me that had been brewing under the surface for a while just kind of clicked into place. I'd been struggling with my diet, and I was trying new things like intermittent fasting. I tried going back to eating whole foods, you know, all the diet stuff we dieters do, even when we don't believe in dieting. But honestly, I was half-assing it and trying to tell myself that I was in the fight. I wasn't. I hadn't added exercise back into the equation, at least not the kind of exercise that my body needs to lose weight and get really fit. You know, some would call my daily 1 hour walking to and from work exercise, and it is, but my body needs more to lose weight and really lean up and feel fit. Also, my body needs lots of exercise to drop the weight, thus my status as a gym rat those years ago. It's not only the calorie burning or muscle building that exercise provides, it's the mindset. That's really the important part, and the work that I put in. With every workout, I develop a growing kind of sense of empowerment and strength, and that feeling helps me say no to foods that aren't good for me. The feeling of empowerment is what exercise helps me kind of manifest, and I wasn't doing that. I'd recently cleaned up my rowing machine and refilled the water tank, and I'd cleaned up the weight rack and the bench, but I was just looking at it. Until one day, when I was sourcing music for a podcast episode, and this song came on. You see, this song called me out. I wasn't fighting, not at all. I was coasting, and I was lying to myself about it. Telling myself that an hour's walk and sloppy meals would help me lose the weight. I know that doesn't work, and Sam's song felt like it was calling me out. It felt personal. The deep bass, the dark voice, and the hard edge reminded me of the gym instantly. The benches, the iron, the pulleys, the rowing machines, the spin classes. All of it required a fight that I wasn't displaying. I'd lost my fight and let the bullshit narrative, I'm trying my best, pull the wool over my eyes. I wasn't even close to trying my best. I was coasting. And it wasn't until music, my truth teller, my sage, my rock and soul woke me up. Music connects me to the Jill of my youth and the person I think I really am. And I am a fighter. Like many of you, from a young age, music has been my friend. A lonely, only child, my mom was often at work and I fended for myself a lot. I was a latchkey kid. A kid who had quite a bit of responsibility at a young age and came in and out of our apartment by myself after school. And to keep me company, and I think kind of quell some of the anxiety I felt when I was alone, I listened to music. I'd come home and just turn it on. It was like a constant companion. Growing up, I listened to many genres of music, including favorites like The Jackson 5, Donna Summer, Styx, Stevie Wonder, Prince. Later in college, I listened to Yaz, The English Beat, and George Michael. These were my people. They stuck with me during my angst-ridden teen years, and they were the impetus for my love of dancing. As I've mentioned before, it's in episode 12 on social comparison. I went to most of the big-name dance clubs in New York City during the late 70s and 80s. I loved to dance, and I still do. I put on music sometimes and dance in the house, like an hour of like just heart-pumping dance to the latest pop, hip-hop, electronica, and dance music that I can find. And I find new songs usually on Friday or Saturdays in the evenings and add them to my playlist, using them to spark my motivation to exercise. But I had lost that cadence and that rhythm and practice when my caregiving tasks grew and I hadn't fully returned. The day before I heard the fighting song, something was beginning to shift, and I was ready to acknowledge that I wasn't giving my health goals a fighting chance. I wasn't taking dedicated action. I had the goal, I had the belief, at least sort of, but I hadn't taken any action really towards it. By the way, I talked about goal-setting behaviors in the last episode, number 33, on deep listening. So see the show notes for a link to that episode. Anyway, I had the goal set, but my intention was shaky and my dedicated action was nowhere to be found. But then this song came on and I knew my sedentary days were coming to an end. I was back in the game. Yes, I'm on my way back. You see, this 59-year-old loves to dance and jive to hip-hop and loves to move and be present in her body. And I want my empowered self back. I know what that feels like, and the only way back is through the music. Through the music that engenders the movement. From the movement that produces the sweat and muscle, and from there comes the sense of empowerment. I want it back. So I'm getting back into the fight. But make no mistake, this promise to myself will have to be made over and over and over again. Nearly daily, to get me back into exercise and healthy eating. It's my old nemesis habits that I have to address. And there are some immediate obstacles. First, I've replaced my gym time with time creating this podcast. So I have some hard choices to make right now. I used to go to the gym after work, but now I come home and work on the podcast. So it looks like I'm going to have to wake up an hour earlier to get in the exercise. Now, 5 a.m. workouts aren't my favorite, but I know that once I commit to it for a few weeks, the feeling of wellness that will follow will help me turn it into a practice. There's going to be about 3 weeks of hell to get through until I can reap some of the benefits and add it back into my life as a somewhat hardened habit. But habits are tricky. I thought I'd never stop exercising and healthy eating after I'd kept those 60 pounds off for several years. But the weight of stress and a lack of structured workout routine made even those well-worn habits disappear. I can get easily bored with talk of habits. While I do believe in the sort of formulaic ideas of habit forming and, you know, the way that habits work, say as outlined in James Clear's Atomic Habits, but one of the reasons why I created this podcast was to bring you a creative spin on those narratives, you know. Somehow it's an easier pill to swallow when I write in verse. So here's a poem that reveals the ways that I'm trying to stop lying to myself when I know I'm bullshitting my way through and trying to sidestep the tough work of forming and maintaining new habits. This poem is called Stop Lying. One side of my mouth is telling tales. I profess that I'm trying my best. And as soon as those words tumble out, I know they aren't true. For I know this, my best is full and heavy, like an acorn as it takes a fall from tree to ground in the early morning hours of a brisk fall day. My best is piercing, red and juicy, like the guts of a pomegranate that stains a crisp white dress. My best is a smoldering flame that's newly stoked and full of kindling, popping in the dark, cold air, an act of rebellion. I've been lying to myself about my best, using the word like an auctioneer uses an opening bid. A mere starting place, if I'm being honest. This best I speak of needs to rise up and find respite in the cold north air, where lies are forbidden, where no one dares. As one side of my mouth keeps lying while the other side shakes its head, I'm too clever to believe you. And then it smiles, a knowing smile, 'cause it's heard these lies that cast a spell. All eyes on the speaker to recast the tale, to tell the truth and tell it well. Back to reality for just a moment. So we know from Clear's book, Atomic Habits, that goal setting alone doesn't produce consistent change. For that, we need to focus on systems and habits, those small actions we take on a consistent basis that help lead us to our goal. If my goal is to get fit, I'll need to break that down into habits that help me achieve it, such as working out with weights, say 4 times per week. So here's a review to help you kind of get into this mindset about habits. Here's a review on the stages of a habit. There are 4. The first is the cue. The second is the craving. The third is the response. And then there's the reward. So let's use my eating as an example. The most common cue for my overeating is sitting on the couch after work and watching TV. I'm in a sort of sedentary, kind of bored state, and so my mind inevitably goes to food, even if I've already eaten dinner and I'm not even hungry. So that bored, sedentary, TV-watching state is my cue. My craving is the need to put something in place of that boredom. But it can also be a desire to want to shut off overthinking or ruminating that has come to the surface while I'm in the relatively passive state of watching TV. The craving is a desire for a sense of calmness, especially mental calm. Because even though I'm bored, my mind is going a mile a minute. My response is to head to the kitchen to get some food when I'm not hungry. And the reward is that feeling of calmness, a sense of sort of numbing my feelings and turning off my thoughts, which I associate with relaxation. This is classic because many bad habits are born of stress and boredom. Check, check. Yes, this post-dinner, after-work stress fest is the perfect storm for some out-of-control eating. Now, the hard work begins as I work to replace that bad habit with another habit, because even my bad habits have reasons and rationales behind why I do them. So I'll have to build another habit that satisfies my need and offers similar benefits to overcoming this evening boredom and overthinking. My new substitute habit will be to brush my teeth and wash my face, get ready for bed earlier in the evening, and then move out of the living room and into the bedroom for some reading. I love to read, and it should quell the overthinking as I get engrossed in the book. To help me along, I'm going to habit stack by adding this new bedtime routine to my established habit of brushing my teeth and washing my face. Instead of going to bed to sleep, I'll start reading. So that new habit, reading in bed, will be added to the established habit of getting ready for bed. This also has the added benefit of cleaning my palate, you know, via the toothbrushing, and removing me from the old triggers like the couch, the TV, and the kitchen nearby. And I'll work on this goal for a while and try to establish it, but I'm going to plan for some failure. And I'm not going to shame myself when I, you know, plop on the couch and blow this plan one exhausted evening. Failure is an inevitable part of creating new habits. And so we have to get comfortable with failure and find a way to kind of move past it and the next day just regroup and start again. I probably won't make any other changes to my eating routines right away. Instead, I'll let my exercise help me make those changes. I'll be waking up at 5 a.m., putting my exercise clothes right next to my bed so they're right there when I wake up. And I know that if I can get some consistent workouts in, my diet will straighten up. You see, I don't like to eat crap when I'm exercising. I don't like the way it feels in my body, and I need proper fuel for my rowing, which is one of my favorite exercises. So I'll start leaning into a whole foods meal plan because that will fuel these workouts. And I always, always, always feel better and best when I eat real food. It makes sense. It's almost as though I've habit stacked exercise with eating whole foods. Because when I'm exercising regularly, I find it so much easier to eat well. It may seem like these changes are coming out of the blue. You know, I heard a fighting song and it struck me, but really these ideas have been brewing in my mind for at least a year. I've tried to get back on track with my exercise and eating, but really couldn't sustain it. You know, I'd have a few good workouts maybe for a week and then go back to old habits and not be able to kind of get back into the swing of things. But just as these habit-changing plans were brewing in my mind, there's also been a beat kind of brewing in my body and soul. This beat, this music, it can bring me back to myself and what's important to me. It can push me to dance and be a catalyst for my empowerment. Really, it's about turning up the music so I can return to the bright side of the beat. Who's with me? Here are some journal prompts to help you start thinking about a new habit you'd like to work toward. Remember to identify an old habit you want to replace, and then work toward a new habit that gives you some of the same benefits as the old habit. Write in response to these prompts. The first one, what bad habit do I want to change? And why is this the habit to change? And second, write about the four stages of your habit. What are the cue, craving, response, and reward of your habit? See the show notes for the article entitled How to Start New Habits That Actually Stick to read more on these four stages. And the third prompt, write about a new habit you want to replace the old habit with, noting the benefits it will give you and how it will address the need that your old habit fulfilled. Oh, habits, the good, the bad, and the ugly, they serve a purpose. Let's remember to explore what benefits they give us and find healthier, more aligned ways to receive those benefits. I'm hoping you'll have success in replacing one bad habit with a better one. But don't forget to plan for some failure, especially in the beginning. Forgive yourself for those slips. Perhaps put on some music. Who knows? A fighting song could come on and help return you to the bright side of the beat. Thanks for listening. Hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. And speaking of subscribing, head over to letdiverseflow.com and subscribe to my companion newsletter, the Me Time Mixtape. This free newsletter offers three essential hand-curated links to creative self-care tips, tools, and strategies that you can use today to help put yourself back on your to-do list. The podcast inspires, while the Me Time Mixtape tools help you put things into action. Check it out, the Me Time Mixtape at lettheverseflow.com. I'll see you next time. Don't forget to stay on the bright side of the beat.